And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia and Benvenuto Italia. Well, virtually, we'll take you there. This focus today is Italy, the theme region for the upcoming 2024 Vancouver International Wine Festival. And I can guarantee you, you're going to have a great time. I've just returned from Italy. Always great to be in that region. I was in Barolo for a week just to sort of reset and get a feeling. It's been a few decades now since Italy decided that they would do away with hormones and pesticides and anything that could hurt their fruits and vegetables. And when you eat there, wow. So we'll talk about that today on the show. Usually this early in the year, there's not that much going on. But in Vancouver, you can get set now for plenty of fun. Dine Out Vancouver will run January 17th to February 4th. It started as an idea by an old friend of ours. She was one of the food and wine enthusiasts, Casey Wilson, who got together with the team at Destination Vancouver back in 2002. And she pitched the idea of a fixed price menu deal to get Vancouverites out into restaurants during what, you know, is normally a slow time of the year. Well, 57 restaurants jumped on board, and from that stellar yet humble beginning, Dine Out Vancouver has grown into Canada's largest food and drink festival. So that'll be coming up on January 17th through February 4th. Now, be warned, these events sell out quick, so you have to get over to that site and check out the menus and make a reservation and get out and support your local community restaurants all across the greater Vancouver area. All of that going on in Vancouver, but today on the show, we're going to speak with Fabio Bosio. He's the export area manager for Fontana Freda. Of course, Fontana Freda is one of the oldest producers in the region of Barolo. Fantastic property in Serra da Lunga. They make incredible Barolo wines. You can actually buy their wines, and they're some of the most reasonably priced Barolo wines in this marketplace. So we'll have a chat with Fabio about his wines. Daniele Della Noce, he's back from Giovanni Rosso, another fantastic producer. And we'll be talking about Nebbiolo with Daniele. Nebbiolo, of course, the key grape variety used in the Barolo region, the Piedmont region across the whole area. Then, really interesting woman, Arianna Carafoli. She's the International Export Director for Bottega. She works for the man, Sandro Bottega. He will be at the festival this year for a couple of days, and Bottega has taken Prosecco around the world. They are the gold standard. Their gold bottle is the gold standard for Bottega. Many, many consumers know that brand. He has been very successful, and if you're traveling a lot, you'll now see Bottega restaurants, small restaurants in a lot of airports, international airports around the world. They just opened one in Prague recently. Up next, Francesco Ricasoli. He joins us from Tuscany. Francesco will speak about his very famous Ricasoli wines, founded in, get this, 1141. 1141. Just think about that. That's a long time ago. They're still in business. He's a great guy. You'll love that interview. I'm Anthony Gismondi. Our virtual travel plans for Italy are locked in, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Your favorite wines delivered right to your door. It's easy when you become a Liber Estates Rebel. Rebel Wine Club members enjoy regular shipments of Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings, VIP treatment at the winery, and more. And with easy and convenient online ordering, your wine will be at your door before you know it. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wine.
Hi, this is Paige Schultz, marketing manager at Visit Penticton. Did you know that Apex Mountain Resort is just 30 minutes away from Penticton? Joining me is James Schauman, general manager at Apex Mountain Resort. James, what makes Apex such a great winter destination?
Apex offers incredible terrain with over 80 runs, short lift lines, and beautiful champagne powder, plus tubing and skating. We also host some fantastic events such as Vertical and Vintages.
Vertical and Vintages. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
It's an incredible social evening of wine tasting taking place February 3rd from 6 to 10 p.m. All the participating wineries are from the South Okanagan, which is home to over 300 wineries. The Gumbrel Saloon will also be providing an array of tasty appetizers to pair with your wines.
Amazing. Thanks, James.
You're most welcome.
Plan your vacation now. For information on all events and activities in Penticton, and for those looking to visit this winter, go to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Week two of the New Year. Greetings across the province from Victoria to Nelson and all 25 cities in total that are part of our BC Food and Wine Radio network. On the show today, our focus is Italy, the theme region for the 2024 Vancouver International Wine Festival coming up at the end of February. Remember, tickets are moving fast for special event dinners, which went on sale last week and are sure to sell out soon. So if you've got plans to attend, make your move now. We're excited to recall a discussion we had with Francesco Ricasoli. Francesco is the owner of one of Chianti Classico's most historic estates, Ricasoli, now get this, founded in 1584. Francesco's in his mid-40s and is the youngest of the new Ricasoli generation whose focus is to make Chianti Classico their top label because the family believes it is the wine which best represents their terroir. That's a very Italian thing. By the way, the guy's a fantastic photographer. Check out his feed on Instagram. You'll love it. Here's our conversation with Chianti's Baron Ricasoli, Francesco Ricasoli, the 32nd Baron of Broglio. How are you today?
Hi, Anthony. Fantastic. Very well.
I should have mentioned earlier, like, are you in the middle of harvest, or is it over, or what's going on in the vineyards in Chianti?
Oh, no. We are just at the beginning. So we are just picking the grapes that are good for, let's say, making the rosé or the white early ripening grape variety. That's it. But Sangiovese, our most important grape variety, no, it's still too early.
Still too early. Okay. Well, let's start with your family. You go back to 1141. I don't even understand how anybody can stay in business that long. Is there a secret that you can share with us about that?
Oh, no, there are no secrets. Anyhow, you know, 1141 is just an exact date because at that time there was a notary act that was stating that the Ricasoli were already living and owning this amazing castle that is Broglio.
Wow. And you, like, when you took over, you sort of gave yourself the mandate to really, really go deep into Sangiovese and to the quality of the wines that you're producing in Chianti. Can you tell us a bit what motivated you about that?
Absolutely. I mean, Chianti Classico has been already reinventing himself since several decades. When I came, we were a little bit behind respect to the others, so my full work was really to focus on the historical quality that was made in Broglio. And so clonal selection, study of the soil, study of different biotypes of Sangiovese. And I mean, it takes a long time, but it's very rewarding. No doubt, Chianti Classico is having a magnificent renaissance, and we can talk about it because it's really enthusiastic.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it. Let's talk a little bit about Sangiovese, because that's the grape that drives it all. And for people here maybe in North America who know Cabernet Sauvignon or Pinot Noir those red varieties, how would you describe Sangiovese? What can you tell us about this grape that makes it so special in Tuscany?
Well, first of all, not easy to describe Sangiovese, because Sangiovese is one of the most cultivated red grape variety in Italy. So you have Sangiovese from Abruzzo, central Italy, up to Emilia-Romagna. Mm-hmm. We have registered more than 130 different clones. So it depends very much where it's cultivated. So territory is the key, absolutely. Here in Chianti Classico, in centuries we are cultivating Sangiovese, and especially here in Broglio, that, as you mentioned, our history goes back for many, many generations and many centuries. We have been really studying this important grape variety since we have so many different soils. So we appointed the most important research center for studying geology and the different soils. And, you know, the more you know, the better you can do. Yeah. Sangiovese, anyhow, we are talking about the Sangiovese cultivated in Chianti Classico, let's say in central Tuscany, because even in Tuscany there are a lot of differences. So in Chianti Classico, historically, Sangiovese has been a great variety that always was paired with food because of its remarkable acidity, once, not anymore, and good tannic side that was very helpful when you are eating dishes with some fat content, such as sausages or pasta with some olive and olive oil and tomato and so on. Of course, the evolution has been great in these last decades. And so today, finesse, elegance can be said to be paired with these historical characteristics.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Our guest is Francesco Ricasoli. He's the owner and president of Ricasoli Wine, and we're about to get a short master class in the classification of Chianti. Francesco, can you help my listeners? Let's start, with Chianti, Chianti Classico, Reserva, and Gran Selezione. Why do you have these different ways that you classify the wines? How can you walk us through those?
So it's not that complicated at the end. In our appellation, we have three categories. For a long time, there were just two. Chianti Classico, we call it Annata, the one of the year that is released after 1.5 years of the harvest. Then there is Reserva, that needs a longer aging, a more tough selection, some compulsory oak aging. And then recently, let's say since 2014, we have been introducing a new classification that is called Gran Selezione. So just the meaning of this term indicates the evolution that our appellation has been reaching recently. So there was the need to really find a space for wines that were definitely much better than the past. It's then it depends on for the consumers, depend very much on the price, the occasion. Broglio Chianti Classico, we have I believe 2020 right now on the market.
Yes, we do.
Retailing just a little bit below $30, and it's a rich, complex red wine that is made with the cuvée of Sangiovese that are picked all around our estate. And we might use sometimes also other grape variety, but in small percentage. You have to know that Chianti Classico needs to be at least 80% of Sangiovese.
Right.
And so it's a wine that generally goes well with lots of dishes, let's say from pizza to meatballs, steak, and so on.
Okay, you're getting me hungry here.
Yeah, but I'm getting prepared because soon I'm going to have dinner, you know.
Yeah, exactly. let's move on to the Reserva. We have the 2019 Broglio Reserva, the Chianti Classico Reserva. So you mentioned some of the things about Reserva. Is it a selection in the vineyard or at the winery or a little bit of both?
It's a selection that is made, as you said, both. To make a long story short, we do harvest of every vineyard parcel separately. We age it separately. And especially for Broglio and Broglio Riserva, we do then the blending in a second moment. Also to keep a certain style of the wine. So Riserva here, I mean, just the word explain itself, is a wine that can be aged for many, many years. This does not mean that Broglio cannot age. In fact, too often we drink Broglio too early. It's a wine that you can also put in the cellar, forget it for many years.
Yeah.
And nevertheless, Riserva is really showing the beauty of our Sangiovese. So a little bit of spices, you have red cherries, plums, long finish, nice color.
Yeah.
But at the end, is the complexity is very refined and I would say balanced. And this is very important because at the end, a wine has to please our palate and get together with the dish we have in front of us.
Yeah. Now the Broglio Chianti Classico Gran Selezione, which is the new category you were talking about, we have the 2016, which is fantastic here in the marketplace because it's already 7 years old and just beginning to sort of emerge from the bottle. But Gran Selezione, I guess that's what it is. It's a Gran Selection.
Exactly. And the appellation required now that has to be not 80, but 90% Sangiovese.
Yeah.
It's a magnificent vintage. 16 is something that right now is totally beautiful to enjoy or still to keep it in the cellar. You know, a winemaker would have said about this vintage, it's the dream vintage of my career because I had to do very little in the sense that nature made it perfect.
Wow.
And really, it's a vintage to put aside or even, of course, to drink it. Now it's just beautiful.
I can't wait.
And remember that wine is not a piece of art. That wine is something to share with your friends, the people you love, and to enjoy.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Francesco, I know we're out of time, but you're coming to Vancouver in the spring. You're going to be here at the Vancouver Wine Festival or just at the end of winter, so people can come by and actually meet you at the booth and taste the wine and get to know a bit more about Broglio. And, of course, very quickly, if they want to visit you, is that possible to come and visit the winery when they're in Italy?
Absolutely. Ricasoli.com is where you can get some information, and I'm very happy to be in Vancouver again and to be at the wine festival. And double reason is that Italy is the focus country the festival, so very happy.
Francesco, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure to catch up with you and to taste the Broglio 2020, the Broglio 2019 Reserva, and the Gran Selezione 2016, all in the marketplace in Vancouver. Folks, you won't want to miss these wines. These are food wines, and as Francesco says, wines to share with your friends. Thank you, Francesco.
Grazie, Anthony. Have a great day.
That was Francesco Ricasoli, owner Ricasoli Wine. Still to come, it's all about sparkling and Prosecco with Arianna Carafoli. She's the International Export Director at Bottega.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. The place for winter adventure and Okanagan wine. Enjoy champagne powder and après-ski at Apex Mountain or Baldy Resort, or step into cross-country skiing at Nickel Plate Nordic Center. After a day in the snow, slow down and experience one of over 80 nearby wineries with an intimate winter wine tasting. Before you go to Penticton, make sure to check the website for information on tasting room hours, winter highway, and ski hill conditions. And for more trip inspiration, go to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Join Anthony Gismondi and BC Food and Wine Radio at the 45th Vancouver International Wine Festival, February 24th to March 3rd, 2024. Discover Italy at the International Festival Tastings, featuring 149 wineries from 12 countries. Tickets are on sale now. Plus, get a free tasting ticket worth up to $135 when you book a downtown hotel via StayVancouverHotels.com. Don't wine and drive. The festival runs February 24th to March 3rd at the Vancouver Convention Center and other venues. Full details at vanwinefest.ca.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at clodesoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
It's hip to be square. It's hip to be square.
Hello, British Columbia. A special welcome to all across the province on our network of 25 cities. The show focus today is Italy. They're the theme region for the 2024 Vancouver International Wine Festival, and I'm guessing now most of Italy will be here from the sounds of it with their wines at the end of February. You won't want to miss that. Our guest is Arianna Carafoli. She's the International Export Director at Bottega. She joined us at last year's festival. She works for one of the most amazing guys in Italy, Sandro Bottega is the man with all the ideas, all the smarts, and is a leader, a global leader in selling sparkling wine. He really put Prosecco on the map. And it's got a history dating back to the 17th century, the winery, when they started out with the grappa. Here's our discussion with Arianna Carafoli. She's the International Export Director for Bottega. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Great to have you. We'll do a little housekeeping. Bottega, where is it? Where is it situated? Maybe let our listeners know.
Oh, we are in the very heart of the Prosecco region in Veneto. A little bit north from Venice, half an hour by car.
Okay.
Near Conegliano Valdobbiadene, where the best Prosecco is produced.
And you're the only one who can say that name perfectly.
Conegliano, yeah.
Yeah, Conegliano. Valdobbiadene?
Valdobbiadene, that's the correct pronunciation.
Okay. Prosecco has been on a big run. Like, it's
absolutely
been a while.
Absolutely, yeah.
Your company's been one of the people behind that, like, making it happen. Tell us a bit about that story. What was the attraction for Bottega with Italians and with the rest of the world, I guess?
Well, Prosecco has started to become famous, I would say, 10, 15 years ago, but it's part of our culture. I mean, in our families, especially in Veneto, and Prosecco, it's a part of our daily life.
Yeah.
The opportunity when the Prosecco started to be famous around the world is actually that it's a wine very easy to drink, that it's very flexible.
Yep.
You can get Prosecco from as an aperitif. You can pair with many different kind of food, pasta, fish, light meal, but also Asian food, not necessarily only Italian food. And then you can have it for dessert or mixing cocktails. So the fact that you can really use and pair in different ways makes things...
It's versatile.
Very versatile and very pleasant.
But, you know, in Canada, it seems like we don't think about quitting work and going to have a glass of Prosecco, but it seems like everybody in Northern Italy quits work and goes and has a glass of Prosecco.
This is what I was telling you before, part of our tradition. Like, after a long day of work, we go for a break before going home, and normally have spritz with, now it's very popular, the lemon spritz. I mean, you mix the Prosecco with a little bit of limoncello, you add some ice and a leaf of mint.
You guys are too smart. Yeah. Okay, so you brought a couple of bottles today. Let's talk about the wine that perhaps a lot of people know here in the marketplace.
Yeah.
This is kind of an everyday style.
Poetic Prosecco is the Prosecco for every day. It's the bottle to keep at home, to have with your pasta, pizza, with very easy also to mix into cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Prosecco producing.
For brunch, all those kind of things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is what actually made us famous in the market from the very beginning. When we first launched the Prosecco, especially in Canada, and actually the Poetic Prosecco is our bestseller in the, let's say, middle range retail price.
Now, the grape for the moment is Glera.
Yes.
We hear some people are trying to change it back again, but...
Hopefully, we try to be very conservative. By law, you are allowed to use 85% Glera, and then you can blend with something else.
Right.
Personally, what Bottega does, because we care a lot about quality, is to go only with a 100% Glera. This is our recipe. It doesn't matter which is the style of the Prosecco that we offer. It's always 100% Glera. Yeah.
You have a very flamboyant owner.
Yes, Sandro, it's very well known, especially also here in Canada.
Yeah, and I think the next wine we're going to talk about reflects his personality in some way. It's a very special wine, special bottle, special presentation. Tell us about this wine.
Oh, Bottega Gold, actually the name, it already says everything about the bottle. It's a shiny gold bottle.
Yeah.
It's a very high quality premium Prosecco. When Sandro created this Prosecco, wanted to have something very high catchy, and he came up with this bottle, which is very different from everything that you can find on the shelves. But I always like to say that the bottle represents the quality of the wine which is inside. So we do not sell that because of the bottle. Mm-hmm. The bottle helps, maybe for the first purchase, but then we need to keep our promise by let the people drink something very unique. And actually, I believe that's the secret of Bottega Gold. People recognize that it's something very special compared to many other Prosecco that you can find in the market.
And the bottle itself, like, of course, a lot of people have wrapped bottles now, but this bottle is not
a
wrap.
This is painted. This is water varnish painted, so it's totally recyclable.
Yeah.
It's a special process that Sandro Bottega has patented.
Yeah.
Actually, the bottle, as it is, with a shape, a very smooth shape, with a mirror finishing and with a B3D on the bottle, it's
fantastic.
A trademark.
Yeah.
It's protected all around the world.
When you take this bottle to a party, people notice right away.
Absolutely.
It's kind of fun that way.
Can also give you a little curiosity. If you have a black marker, you can write on the bottle, you can leave your notes or your
happy
birthday
fun.
Notes, and people can keep it and has a memory.
We can say Ariana's here. Ben here.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Ariana Carafoli, she's the North American Export Director for Bottega. Tell us about Rosé, because it was launched not too long ago. How's that working out?
It was launched during the pandemic period. Yeah. Rosé is a Prosecco made of 85% of Glera, and then you have 15% of Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
It's performing. I would say that the main challenge for us, for the category in general, I think, is to let consumer understand that this is, again, a Prosecco that can be very flexible in the way of being drunk. Rather, consumer tend to consider that more seasonal because it's a rosé.
Yeah.
So we need to educate more.
Oh, not here. We're drinking rosé all the time now. So we're kind of ahead of the
good
curve
for
in Vancouver. But it's nice to see it in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a pink bottle.
Actually, the rosé, we have two different kind of rosé. You have the rosé for the poetic, so the medium level, more for everyday, which is a clear bottle where you can see the beautiful color of the wine. And yes, you're right. For the premium line, we have a very nice pink metallized bottle.
Spectacular. Yeah, I love it. Prosecco, well, we didn't talk much about that. Prosecco's not champagne. It's a bit, it's a different process.
It's a totally different process.
But mostly it's just a less pressure in the bottle. Like the wine seems a bit softer and rounder and would you say more approachable sort of thing? Or how would you describe that?
I would describe, really easy to drink. The fact that the production method with the Prosecco that undergoes, well, in particular, our Bottega Gold only does one fermentation in the cuve close, allow the wine to result at the end much more fresh, much more fruity.
Yeah.
It really maintain the flavor of the original grape, which is the Glera.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the Prosecco method, it's special and very appropriate for the Glera grape because it respects in full the...
It's a good combination, I
absolutely
think.
Absolutely so.
Okay, so Prosecco, of course, many things go with it. Do you have a favorite that you would like to, that you serve with Prosecco that you think is a great match for maybe folks in Canada?
Oh, I like with rice, personally.
With rice?
I like with rice. Yeah. We also have, it's a well-known recipe. You can also find it online.
Yeah.
Of rice, risotto made with Prosecco.
Wow.
So you can pair with Prosecco, but you can also use the Prosecco to make risotto.
Yeah.
It's a very simple recipe.
Yeah. And maybe here on the West Coast, we would do sushi with it, perhaps.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the wine. It doesn't go only with Italian food. It matches with many different cultures.
Yeah. And you have, people should look for restaurants. You have small restaurants like in airports or all around the world now.
We do what we call the Prosecco Bar. It's a concept of a bar and wine restaurants.
Yeah.
We are open in 32 airports.
Wow.
Our latest opening is occurring in Istanbul. The idea behind that is to offer some very nice Italian cuisine with pairing the food with our wine
and
other product that we produce in our winery.
Yep.
The idea of Sandro Bottega is to teach people how to drink well. So it's not only selling the wine, but it's a transfer, a culture, a tradition, and a well-being method.
You can tell Sandro that that's the mission of our show, to teach people how to drink well. So it's a great combination.
It will be very happy to know.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was Arianna Carafoli. She's the International Export Director of Bottega. Up next, Daniele Della Noce from Giovanni Rosso, the family winery based in Serralunga, Alba, Italy. You won't want to miss this fantastic talk on Barolo.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Your next corporate event or retreat deserves the best. The Watermark Beach Resort. With conference spaces to host large or small gatherings, they can create your perfect event or gathering. Enjoy the culinary excellence of 15 Park Bistro, open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Make sure to follow them on Instagram and Facebook at 15 Park Bistro for the latest updates on their brand new dinner series. To make a reservation or learn more about events at Watermark, just go to watermarkbeachresort.com.
Visit Penticton this winter for mountain adventures and South Okanagan wine. Experience the quieter time of year at one of the nearby wineries that stay open year-round and enjoy an intimate winter wine tasting. Stop into the Penticton Visitor Center for discounted lift tickets to Apex Mountain Resort for a day in the snow. Penticton is the perfect destination for your winter getaway. Before you go, check the website for information on wine tours, tasting room hours, and webcams for current conditions. Go to visitpenticton.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
escape to Tinhorn Creek Vineyards on the captivating Golden Mile Bench in the heart of Oliver's Wine Country. Their wine shop awaits you Thursdays through Sundays from 11:30 to 4:30. Embrace the season with their Blanc de Blanc Sparkling, adding a lively note to your winter wanderings. Explore the wonders of the South Okanagan, where nature's beauty meets the art of winemaking. Plan your visit at tinhorn.com. Ready to welcome you.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, across the province, to our network of 25 cities enjoying our stories each week. The theme is Italy today. Of course, there's the theme of the wine festival. We're just getting you ready. We're just warming you up. We're just getting you excited about Italian wine. And our next guest is so great at talking about it. Daniele Della Noce he's a spokesperson for Giovanni Rosso, a family winery based in Serra Lunga d'Elba, which is a tiny region really inside the tiny region of Barolo. Where the soil, believe it or not, is entirely lava sand, which makes these wines so special when you taste them. He'll talk about all that. Here's our conversation with Daniele Della Noce for Giovanni Rosso Wines in Barolo, Italy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, actually.
That was a long-winded way of saying I really enjoy your wines, and I think people in BC are having fun drinking your wines.
But actually, it's fantastic to be here and in this amazing show.
Yeah.
Tasting. I see all the customers, trade, the wine lover, very excited.
Yeah. Very knowledgeable and interested. And so now for my listeners, I'd like to have a little quick, like a master class in Nebbiolo. Let's start with Giovanni Rosso. Where are you? And explain the sort of origins of the winery.
Yeah, sure. This is, so we are located in Serra Lunga d'Alba.
Yeah.
It's a family-owned winery. This is the third generation now.
Yeah. In Piedmont.
In Piedmont, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So we are in Piedmont, in the Lange, in the Barolo area.
Yeah.
Barolo is an area made by 11 different villages.
Yeah.
And Serra Lunga is one of those. In the eastern border of the Barolo area, actually.
Yeah.
The family owned vineyard since the beginning of 900. And we have about 20 hectares. All in Serra Lunga d'Alba.
Yeah. So that's like 123 years ago, you're saying.
Sorry, 1,900, I mean. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. And so, yes, we own the vineyard in all in Serra Lunga d'Alba. Are located in 11 different crews.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a traditional vinification, you know. It's a vinification in a concrete tank and aging in a big flat choke. So
yeah.
This is a...
I mean, how would you explain the difference to someone going in the store buying a Lange Nebbiolo and a Barolo from Giovanni Rosso so that they understand, like, one is more money than the other? So what's the separation in that grape, that Nebbiolo grape?
Yeah, but actually all vineyards are in Serra Lunga d'Alba. So
okay.
Nebbiolo, Barolo is made by Nebbiolo grapes, 100%.
Yep.
So the Lange Nebbiolo that we produce are vineyards that are young vines, so
okay.
A little bit younger.
Good.
And always in Serra Lunga d'Alba, but they make a different vinification. So the wine is fermented in concrete tank, but they only spend a few days in contact with the skin. So the maturation is shorter,
mm-hmm.
is between 7 and 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wine age only for 5, 6 months in big French oak.
Yeah.
So
so it's made to drink earlier, sooner.
Drink earlier, sooner. Let me say, it's a baby Barolo, no?
Yeah.
It's the first step for the consumer who maybe is just approaching the Barolo for the first time.
Yeah.
So you can go through the Nebbiolo first.
Yeah.
You know, also for the price, because you can enjoy a bottle of Nebbiolo every day.
Yep.
Has a better price than, of course, a bottle of Barolo.
Yep.
And the Barolo, maybe you can open it with in a better or special occasion.
Yeah.
Okay? So
yeah.
It's different meaning.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. I think it's a perfect combination for people. But your wines have a special, like, it's almost like they're somewhat juicy. Like, they seem to be a fresher, juicier version of Barolo. Sometimes it can be really dry.
Absolutely.
Really really tannic sometimes, and maybe old school. It seems quite modern. Thinking, anyway.
Yeah, and this is very important. This is very important. And let me tell you, all this starts from a big study.
Yeah.
So a big effort, and everything starts from the work in the vineyard.
Yeah.
So everybody, we know that Nebbiolo is a variety with has a very strong tannic trauma. And so it's very crucial during along all the years in the vineyard, reaching not only the technical maturation, but is the phenolic maturation, which is very important for Nebbiolo varieties.
Yeah.
So harvesting when the with the right ripeness, with the perfect balance in the grapes, and then preserve this quality all around the process during the vinification and the aging. Mm-hmm. And if you have this kind of approach, very soft during the pumping over, during the restage, very soft touch during the maturation.
Yeah.
So you can preserve the quality of the tanning, you can keep this silkiness, you can have this kind of rondeur in the wine, even in the young ages.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways it's a bit like Pinot Noir. You have to be gentle with it and handle it in a very special way to get the best out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Barolo. We talked about how the Lange was made, not a lot of wood contact, concrete. How is the Barolo? What are the differences in making a Barolo? This is, by the way, we're tasting the 2017 vintage.
Exactly. And actually, this is the Barolo del Comune di Serra Lunga d'Alba. This wine is our Barolo Village. Mm-hmm. As I said before, we have the vineyard in 11 different crew. Some,
yeah.
Three of them we make the single vineyard. The other eight that are located all around the village of Serra Lunga d'Alba,
yeah,
from the lower part up to the highest, covering different sun exposure, different soils characteristics. So different crews, they get harvested separately, fermented separately, and mm-hmm. then blended together,
yeah,
and then aged for 3 years in big French oak. So in this wine, you really have the expression of what is Serra Lunga. Serra Lunga has the characteristics to be one of the villages in Barolo that has the most mineral soils, though, so the limestone, the Formazione di Lecchio, white marne. This kind of soils give to the Nebbiolo varieties a big structures, very important tannic trauma, and a very long longevity.
Mm.
And this is the Barolo Serra Lunga, is really the expression of the village of Serra Lunga. 17 has been a warm vintage, very nice. It's a wine for very, very, very long aging too.
Yeah. Our guest is Daniele Della Noce. He's the export director for Giovanni Rosso. We've been tasting the 2020 Nebbiolo, the Lange Nebbiolo from Giovanni Rosso, and the 2017 Serra Lunga d'Alba Barolo, also from Giovanni Rosso. Two delicious wines, both of them available in British Columbia,
yep,
which is even better. And we hope you keep sending us some wine, because it's always great. Barolo, I mean, famous for truffles. It's such a beautiful place to visit. The food is incredible. What about visiting the winery? Can Canadians go and visit the winery?
Absolutely. We have a division in the wine tourism that we developed in the last 10 years, actually.
Yep.
And so we have very different opportunity for all the consumers, for all the wine lovers to visit the wineries. They can book sending an email, just checking on the website, or
yep,
following on all our social media, and it's absolutely possible. And I said this is a great opportunity to learn and discover even more the wineries.
Yeah, yeah, more about,
absolutely,
more about the region
and the,
yeah,
people. Yeah.
Well, I hope you're enjoying Vancouver, and you got some time to get out and visit.
I will. I,
yeah,
will do it.
The food is pretty good here.
I know. I,
yeah,
know.
Thanks for bringing those wines today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for
real,
the opportunity.
A real pleasure to meet you. Daniele Della Noce is the export director for Giovanni Rosso. We tasted two great wines today. You're going to find these wines all over British Columbia, and we hope we can get more and more labels from Giovanni Rosso so that we can fill our cellars up with delicious Piedmont red wines. Thanks so much.
Thank you, and waiting you in Serra Lunga and Giovanni Rosso Winery.
I'm in. That was Daniele Della Noce of Giovanni Rosso, a family winery based in Serra Lunga d'Alba. a really historic region and one of the most famous regions in all of Piedmont. By the way, they have the largest number of Michelin-starred restaurants in Europe, right there. Still to come, Fabio Bosio, export area manager for Fontana Freda, a great old name, had been selling wines in British Columbia for probably over 50 years now.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hi, this is Paige Schultz, marketing manager at Visit Penticton. Did you know that Apex Mountain Resort is just 30 minutes away from Penticton? Joining me is James Shulman, general manager at Apex Mountain Resort. James, what makes Apex such a great winter destination?
Apex offers incredible terrain with over 80 runs, short lip lines, and beautiful champagne powder, plus tubing and skating. We also host some fantastic events such as Vertical and Vintages.
Vertical and Vintages. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
It's an incredible social evening of wine tasting taking place February 3rd from 6 to 10 p.m. All the participating wineries are from the South Okanagan, which is home to over 300 wineries. The Gumbrel Saloon will also be providing an array of tasty appetizers to pair with your wines.
Amazing. Thanks, James.
You're most welcome.
Plan your vacation now. For information on all events and activities in Penticton, and for those looking to visit this winter, go to visitpenticton.com.
Your favorite wines delivered right to your door. It's easy when you become a Liber Estates Rebel. Rebel Wine Club members enjoy regular shipments of Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings, VIP treatment at the winery, and more. And with easy and convenient online ordering, your wine will be at your door before you know it. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wine.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with you.
Hello, British Columbia, across the province and around the globe on our podcast. Our guest is Fabio Bosio. He's the export area manager for Fontana Freda. This is a very old producer, well known in this part of Canada. We caught up with Fabio here in the studio. He was in Vancouver, sort of setting the stage for his return at the wine festival, and we had a nice chat about the differences between Barolo and Barbaresco from the Serra Lunga region of Piedmont. Here's our conversation with Fabio Bosio of Fontana Freda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Wow, you live in Elba. People would cut their arm off to live in Elba.
It's a funny place for food and wine, for sure.
Yeah, fun place. Yeah. Well, great to have you in the studio. Let's have a chat about Fontana Freda. They're not newcomers to the wine business. They've been going for quite a while.
Yeah, well, actually, Fontana Freda is one of the oldest winery from Piemonte. We started to make wine 165 years ago, so in 1858. And it's actually the winery founded by the very first King of Italy, Vittorio Emanuele II. Mm-hmm. So let's say is a royal heritage. And in fact, Fontana Freda owns the biggest contiguous estate in Barolo.
Yeah.
So it's quite a historical winery with always a look at the future, of course. Right now, we have the biggest contiguous estate made with organic grapes.
Yeah.
Which is very, very...
That's fantastic. Important. Yeah. How many hectares would you say are under vine, roughly?
It's around 100 hectares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if people don't know Piedmont, it's a very hilly place, so there's a lot of different expositions, and so there's many, many different grapes growing in different areas in a closed space, which makes complexity in the wine.
Yeah, of course. Actually, Fontana Fredda, most of the vineyards are in the Barolo area, specifically in Serra Lunga d'Alba, where our winery is. And then we have some other vineyards around the Barolo area, like in Barolo and in the upper side of Serra Lunga, with some single vineyards. And then we acquired some vineyards also in the Timorasso area, which is a very new big trend in Piemonte. We do have vineyards in the Alta Langa, which is the sparkling wine that we're making now. Of course, our focus is in Barolo, and especially in Serra Lunga d'Alba.
Yeah. Just before we get to the big boys, I want to talk about this white wine because I'm a big fan of Gavi da Gavi, which I would venture that most people don't know anything about until they taste it and they go, oh my God, this wine's so delicious. What can you tell us about Gavi da Gavi?
Well, first of all, Gavi da Gavi is the most important white wine that we make in Piemonte, apart of Moscato d'Asti, but you know, Moscato d'Asti is a semi-sparkling and sweet wine. This one is a still white wine, very fresh and fruity, a lot of floral notes as well, and the grape variety is Cortese, and what makes this Cortese grape variety unique is the soil that we have in the Gavi area. And when we say Gavi di Gavi, it means that the vineyards are located in the village of Gavi.
So the
wine is, as I say, fresh and easy drinking, so it's for every day, every moment. But there is always very important acidity that that make this wine enjoyable also with food, with some appetizer or some sushi, why not?
And Cortese, it's not Pinot Grigio, it's not Vermentino. How would you describe it?
Yeah, Cortese is, first of all, Cortese is very simple. You can make very simple wines with Cortese, except if you grow Cortese in this specific area where you have this important acidity and a little bit of spiciness. So the aftertaste of the Gavi is a little bit spicy, and that makes this Cortese grape unique. So in compared to the Pinot Grigio or some other white wines from Italy.
And if I'm in Elba and I order a Gavi da Gavi, what are they going to serve me or what are they going to recommend with it in a restaurant?
That's a very nice question. I guess some salami and some prosciutto, some ham. Okay. Prosciutto di Parma, probably.
Yeah, prosciutto di Parma.
Yeah, normally it's for the aperitif if you go to the bar.
Okay, Gavi da Gavi, widely available in British Columbia, the 2021. It's $31.99 in specialty wine stores. Okay, let's get to Barolo. It's interesting and sometimes confusing for people. Barolo's a place, Barolo's a wine, but it's made from Nebbiolo.
Correct.
So we have to sort of sort that out in our minds.
Yeah. So the grape variety that we use to make Barolo is Nebbiolo. Mm-hmm. And it is mandatory to use 100% the grapes, Nebbiolo, growing in this specific area, which is made by 11 communes. And one of the communes is Barolo. Mm-hmm. So the name of the commune, Barolo, gave the name to the appellation as well. Then this is the big category, Barolo. Inside of this big category, there are some other subcategories. So you can make like a single village or a single vineyard or a single plot as well.
Sure. So you brought two Barolos today. So how would you separate them for our listeners?
So we do have this, we call it the Silver Label Barolo, which is our most historical wine. So since ever, Fontana Fredda have made this Barolo, which is a blend of grapes growing in all the 11 communes, municipalities. So we blend together of all the grapes, then we do the normal agement, so big cask only, because Fontana Fredda is
no small oak,
because we are historical, as I say at the beginning, and so we have to keep this
in a classic bottle. It's not a Burgundy bottle, but it's kind of like that.
I mean, as I say, this is our historical bottle and historical label. So if you come to the winery, you will see our first bottle with the vintage on 1903.
Yep.
We do also have some other older bottles, but without the label. So we don't know exactly how old they are. But that means for more than 100 years, we do have this bottle shape and this label.
Yeah. Well, it's a lovely wine. 2018, too. You've had a run of great vintages recently in Barolo. Like, I don't know if it's climate change or winemaking or a combination of all that.
The biggest problem of Barolo back in the days, it was to reach the ripeness. The climate is changing, is not big news and is not nice at all. But when it comes to Barolo specifically, is a perfect moment. Because right now, every vintage, we reach the ripeness. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of a difference because you can really have a more enjoyable and approachable Barolo. Mm-hmm. 2018, for example, this specific vintage, it was the most, it's weird to say on Barolo, but ready to drink vintage. And as soon as you open the bottle, you can really see that because it's very fresh and fruity. So it's like kind of jumping out of the glass. Yeah. But at the same time in the mouth, I mean, it's Barolo. So there is acidity, there are tannins, of course.
And it will age.
Exactly. But is smooth, is round.
Yeah.
So that is the 2018 vintage. For example, 2019, which will be in the market soon, it's completely different. It's much more like a classic style Barolo.
By the way, how do the Italians say ready to drink in Barolo?
There is no words ready
There's
to
no
drink.
Words. I thought we were going to say porta something, but you know.
We say maybe pronto.
Pronto.
Ready. It's ready.
Yeah, it's ready.
Yeah.
I thought you answered the phone like that.
Exactly. You know, Italian words can mean a lot of different things.
So the silver or the platinum label Barolo, the 2018 is available, $42.99. This is a fantastic wine. If you're a collector, as you say, you can drink it. But I know these wines well. You can just buy this wine, lay it down, and in 10 years you'll be drinking it. And you won't be able to tell the difference between that and a great Burgundy, perhaps. And the great Burgundy will cost you $700 or $800 a bottle, and this is $42.99. So you tell me where the value is. I love these labels, the bar labels. What can you tell us about that in the Serra Lunga d'Alba? So this is a particular site, then, a particular commune.
So actually, as I say, Fontana Fredda is located in Serra Lunga d'Alba. And back in 1988, we decided to make the very first single village Barolo. So we use 100% our grapes here, and the stripes are coming from our property. So back in the days, the royal family used to paint with the stripes all the properties in order to say, this is my place, you cannot come in. So we decided to put it on the label.
Okay. I'm going to go home and put some stripes on my house.
It's not anymore like this. And again, this wine is becoming our most important worldwide. We are in more than 70 countries with this label.
Yeah.
And as I say, Barolo Serra Lunga is known to be a little bit more big and full body because all the grapes are growing in this left side Barolo area. But again, 2018 is approachable, is round and smooth.
Yeah.
So this is very interesting.
Another delicious wine, the Serra Lunga d'Alba Barolo from Fontana Fredda, is widely available also at $49.99. Fabio, I wish we had more time. So great for you to come in and see us and talk about these wines. Please come back.
I will, in February.
That was Fabio Bosio, Export Area Manager for Fontana Fredda. That's it for today's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor Sherry Caleb, and Director of Operations Stu Ferguson for all of us at the show. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We wish you a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.